Thus says the Lord to his prophet, as the snow and the rain come down from heaven and return not, but water the earth, that ye break forth in sprout, bringing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that for which I have sent it, and succeed in the purposes I direct. The Lord, let this so happen today through your servant. Amen. It was a quiet night. But the day after a big holiday and a long weekend like Passover was, usually is pretty quiet. But this one was even quieter than normal. Dead quiet. In a nondescript upstairs room in the middle of the city of Jerusalem, 10 men sat in silence, brooding, staring at the walls, cognizant of nothing but their own thoughts. Thoughts of grief over the loss of their friend, their teacher. Thoughts of guilt, how each one of them had failed him. Thoughts of fear, worried that their own arrest and execution might be moments away. Thoughts of despair. Despair that, dang it, was slowly giving way to this irrational hope. For 3 years, these men had followed Jesus from the hill country of Galilee to Jerusalem. And now, in an instant, it was all over. He was gone. The Jews and the Romans had conspired together to kill him, and to do it legally. He had performed wonders. He knew all things. He preached with such authority. He even raised the dead, but he couldn't do a single thing for himself. Or did he? Peter and John's report of what they saw or didn't see that morning, and the two were still sitting with them, brooding themselves, they were almost too fantastic to believe. And yet, could it be true? He wasn't there in the tomb. Had he indeed risen from death? If so, that was just one more thing to think about. One more thing to be afraid of. The disciples just sat in silence behind locked doors, thinking, waiting. And suddenly, there he was. In the room, standing right in their midst, even though as if the doors were shut and bolted, as if he'd been there the entire time, as alive as if he were, well alive. He was there, and he had something to say to them. Now, before we actually consider what he actually told his disciples, I think it's more important to ponder what Jesus didn't say. What he could have said, or should have said, or what we would have said under the circumstances. Because in this case, his silence speaks volumes. He could have said, "You failed me." Wouldn't it have taken too much to remind them of how they all had deserted him? How they'd run away when the most. He could have pointed out their sin, rubbed their noses in it. "It's all your fault what happened." I mean, they seem so self-important. So we're all together and we're good. We're following Jesus, and yet they're even arguing over who gets to sit where in the kingdom of heaven. But when the going got rough, they all fled into the night, leaving him to die alone. And even now, 3 nights later, they still just sit there cowering behind locked doors. So Jesus and fear, that was no surprise to Jesus. He predicted it would happen. He told them that they would abandon him. You strike the shepherd, the sheep scatter, he said. But they had rashly insisted, no, we'd never leave your side. He could have reminded them how he had warned them time and time again, but they refused to listen. They really never tried to understand. They couldn't even stay awake with him for an hour of prayer in the garden. They refused to even enter the possibility of their own failure. So he'd known it all along. In fact, that was the reason he'd come into the world. Their weakness was the answer to his prayer. The reason he had to suffer and die. He knew that. So he could have said, I told you so. But he didn't. He could have said, eh, no big deal. You failed me, I knew it, life goes on. But he didn't say that because it was a big deal. It cost him his life. That it wasn't just water under the bridge. It was cup after cup of suffering that he drank because it was his alone. It was his tears, his blood, his sweat flowing down, pouring out like a sacrificial lamb to redeem once and for all children that he loved with all his heart. The salvation that he offered is free, but it isn't cheap. It's costly, precious, extravagant, a very big deal. And if nothing else, we do well to remember that every single day. Never take it for granted. He could have said, no big deal. But he didn't. He could have said, I'll give you one more chance. I'm sure the disciples would have seized upon this opportunity. I think we all would under the circumstances. And they promised to do better next time, and we would too. But they'd made those promises before, hadn't they? And failed to keep them. Besides, what would happen the next time? Would there be a next time after the next time? Could there ever be enough chances for this fickle bunch of followers? Would they ever stop letting Jesus down? How about us? How many one more chances will there be for each of us? Jesus could have said, I'll give you one more chance. But he didn't. Instead, Jesus said, peace be with you. He stood in the midst of his followers who were too ashamed to even look him in his face and offered them peace. Peace between them and him. Peace among themselves. Peace with God. The peace that ends conflicts. The peace that of joy and hope and love. The peace of a victory that is hard fought and yet won. He didn't come back to life to scold them, to remind them of their failure, to dismiss them, to give them another chance they'd probably blow anyway. No, he came to give them peace. That's why he came into the world, to bring peace. And he passes that same baton to us. John reports, Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I now send you. And then he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. That's for us. Because when you really think about it, the gospel lesson shows that he's not just talking to those original disciples. He's talking to those of us who have not seen and yet believe. And our track record isn't all that much better than those of those disciples. So Christ, too, wishes us peace. Peace when he would be completely justified to do virtually anything else. To rub it in, twist the knife, hold the grudge, lord it over us. He could, but he didn't. Jesus burst through the locked doors of our lives and offers suffering and death on the cross, a peace that makes us his, no matter how bad we are, how often we fail it. A peace that is graciously given to us in order to be shared. He came from the grave to show us how powerful that peace can be. And to bring that peace to the entire world through us. Jesus gives us that same message. In the midst of all that we do or don't do, amid all our plans and schemes and failures, he says, as I have been sent, so I send you to make peace. My peace is with you. That means that he has commissioned us to be peace bringers. To turn to our family, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, and give them peace. But not just them. To give peace to that guy whose politics are so stupid. That crazy woman who'll talk your ear off if you let her. That harried mother that has 21 items in the 12-item or less grocery checkout line. That driver who's going too slow right in front of us or trying to go too fast right behind us. To say to them and everyone we encounter, peace be with you. Because that peace, translated to our actions and attitudes and acceptance of others, that peace brings out reconciliation and new life to everyone, because the peace we share is the peace that we receive. That's what the disciples discovered in the upper room that first Easter. It was right there. And what Jesus said to them and what he didn't say to them. It was the peace that remained behind with them after he left. The same peace that transformed them from cringing cowards to powerful ambassadors of the gospel, and the same peace that remains with us even to this day. Take that peace home with you. Feel it. Live it. Change the world with it. Now may the peace of God which passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.